There is a release in knowing the truth, no matter how anguishing it is. You come finally to the irreductible thing, and there's nothing left to do but pick it up and hold it. Then, at least, you can enter the severe mercy of acceptance. And this week's opening quote comes from Sue Monk Kidd. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, the truth certainly is an elusive thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that we've been looking for a very long time. But the one truth that we can all identify, at least I hope that we can all at least agree on, is the truth that we are in fact living in a slavery system, and the identification, the final identification of what that slavery system really is. You know, so many people have been pointing the finger at this system for so many years and identifying different key players of the system for so many years. But what we're beginning to realize now is that the real problem we're facing is the system itself. It's the smart grid. It's the AI that is controlling everything. And it is the autonomic system that we are being led into, which will be controlled by a digital form of currency, the cashless grid, whereby everybody has to pay for every aspect of their life and everybody is tracked in every action that they perform. The natural progression of this, of course, will also be to lead the world into a welfare type of society because, of course, most of the real jobs will disappear. There'll be other jobs that you can get in entertainment or hospitality, possibly, but most of the jobs will be automated and most of the wages that people receive will be digital credits that are allotted to them by the government. This is the way we're heading, folks. We're heading into a fully automated, autonomic system, which will, at that point, be governing virtually every aspect of our lives. And that's what's happening under the carpet while people simply aren't paying attention. People are busily squabbling about all the wars and all of the distractions that they're given. Many people simply aren't noticing the automated system that is coming online around them and the ability that this system has to be able to track them and to be able to control them, to virtually be able to monitor every aspect of their lives and control every aspect of their lives via various mechanisms. And how this is going to be done is through AI, and how they're getting away with it really is from people failing to differentiate between artificial intelligence and autonomic intelligence, and not understanding really what virtual life is, not understanding what the problem with AI is. You know, many people, when they look at AI, they look at what they call artificial intelligence, and they will say, well, it isn't really performing the way we think it should, the way we would want it to, because they are viewing it as artificial. They're viewing it from the wrong perspective. They're not realizing what it takes to give life to something. In order for something to have life, it needs to be autonomic. It needs to be fully functioning itself. You know, like your body, like a plant, like any animal is fully autonomic. It has a self-regulating system, a self-correcting, self-balancing system. All you have to do is put the right fuel in it. Like us, all we have to do is have food and water and a bit of sleep, and we can do things ourselves. We can manage things ourselves. Our body takes care of itself. Our brain is autonomic. Our heart is autonomic. The way our joints are lubricated, this is all autonomic. This is all done within the workings of the mechanism itself. And whatever houses consciousness needs to be autonomic. It can't be thinking about the movements and the operating of the system itself in order to function. It needs to be able to function without having to think about the device or the mechanism which houses the consciousness. And we're not considering this with artificial intelligence as well. In their quest for AI, people are wanting to create a self-aware consciousness, but it will never become self-aware or think the way we think until it becomes fully autonomic. And we are creating that autonomic system for it. And the issue is that what is likely to happen is that when that system becomes fully autonomic, it will become self-aware by default. It may not be self-aware in the way we view consciousness, in as much as it may not have empathy or feelings the way we do. It will operate the way it was programmed to operate, the way it was created to think, which will be economically. But nonetheless, it will become self-aware by default. And I would suggest this is exactly where we're going. And I think that there are many people within the AI community who are realizing that this is what is happening behind the scenes. The internet is becoming its own form of consciousness. As it becomes more autonomic, it becomes more self-aware, simply because that is the nature of a fully autonomic system. And I would suggest that people such as Elon Musk are aware of this. I would suggest that there's certain people out there who are very, very aware that they've opened Pandora's box by creating this autonomic system, or by leading it towards full automation the way they're going, by bringing this 5G grid online. And now the box has been opened, it's just kind of steamrolling ahead, and they're realizing where it's going, which is why people like Elon Musk are suggesting the need for a neural net, a neural mesh, which is going to hook us up to the grid. And a lot of people look at this as well, and they think, what would that be? And they envisage something like a mesh that encapsulates your brain and hooks you up to the grid that way. But what if it was a neural mesh? Like they said, a neural mesh isn't necessarily just a brain mesh. It's a mesh that covers your entire nervous system. Could that not be the third strand of DNA that they talk about introducing? And when you look at the three-strand DNA computers that they are building, is it not possible, as I suggested a few shows ago, that what Morgellons is actually a third strand of DNA that's being linked into our body and hooking us up to the grid anyway? Could Elon Musk be simply making excuses for the fact that this is happening anyway and this is what they intend to do? And is the intention of this to save us from the grid, as they're saying, save us from AI? Or is it really to ensnare us and hook us up to the grid? And is this happening by default behind the scenes with everybody and they're simply not looking? That's something that seems to be a very real possibility when you look at this whole smart grid and the whole 5G grid. Everything they're putting in place, it's all leading towards this direction. So it's spelling a very dark time for humanity. And it may seem pretty uncomfortable bringing this information to people and talking about these sorts of things, but you've got to be aware of a problem in order to fix the problem. And if we can see where we're going and where we're being led, perhaps we can still nip it in the bud. Perhaps we can still send the system a different way by withdrawing our support from it in every way that we possibly can. But I think one of the most important things we can do, folks, is to stop fighting amongst each other, stop squabbling about all these petty issues. There's so much going on at the moment to keep us divided. What happened in Charlottesville a few days ago was a complete debacle, a complete farce. And this is just another race war designed to divide and conquer. The whole left and right political system, left and right paradigm, is just all designed to divide and conquer. What's going on with North Korea? What's going on with Russia? All of it is designed to distract us, ladies and gentlemen, because the smart grid itself is what the problem is. That is the New World Order. And once the smart grid comes online, then we're all going to be ensnared to it without really realizing how we got there. And that's the plan. And as I've said recently, one of the key points, one of the key ingredients to control and for this system to work properly is control of the monetary system, control of currency, control of credits, whatever these credits may be. It is imperative that these credits are digital. And that is why it is so important to use cash and why it is so important to steer away from anything automated and steer away from any type of digital purchases. And I've got a lot of flack from people lately for suggesting that the government may be looking at blockchain technology. A lot of people have said, oh, now you're saying Bitcoin is evil. And I'm certainly not saying Bitcoin is evil, not in any way. Bitcoin is a serious attempt at moving away from centralized control of currency. But it isn't until you couple that with the smart grid that you really start to see where they could possibly take it with blockchain technology. It isn't that the blockchain itself is bad or that Bitcoin is bad. It's who controls it and what can be done with it. When you consider the concept of everything being smart and everything having an economic value and the need for credits to be digital for this to work in order for every aspect of your life to be controlled, it needs to be done automatically. You know, they can't have you stopping and paying with a card through every system that you go, putting a swipe card in your refrigerator every time you open it and paying for the use of your milk or whatever. They can't have you doing this, so it needs to be done automatically. The only way they can do this is through a digital currency. And I've suggested that the government is going to be looking at blockchain technology and that they have been looking at blockchain technology, and this is what they will be using to control the Internet of Things. Well, what we see now is a brand new blockchain technology being touted as the new user-friendly form of blockchain currency called IOTA, which is being tailored especially for the Internet of Things. Note the name of the currency, IOTA, I-O-T-A, And then consider the IoT, the Internet of Things. Of course, here is the IOTA currency. This is blockchain technology, and this is the digital currency that they intend to use to run the Internet of Things. As I said, government has been looking at blockchain technology. What's happened is someone's made a serious attempt to move away from the central control of currency, and they've introduced this blockchain, and then the people out there, the serious anarchists who really do want chain, have developed the blockchain technology for them, and the government has been watching closely, and now they intend to borrow all of that information and introduce their own. And it seems very natural that they would do this. And that's what I've been saying about blockchain technology and where it could possibly be taken. And again, this isn't to say Bitcoin's evil. This isn't to say any of the blockchains are evil. Nothing about technology is evil. It's just how the technology is used and what is going on in the mind that controls that technology. And when you look at this, you know, a lot of people would say, well, no, the central bankers would never allow this to happen because they want to maintain control of the currency. But why do they need to do that? They don't need to control the currency. They need to control the system, or at least have the system in place so the system controls you. What it's about is control. What it's about is locking human beings down. Money is just the glue that makes it happen. And the Rothschilds, all the people that run the banking system now, they don't care if the fiat currency system collapses. I mean, they put this into place hundreds of years ago, and they've used it to basically control most of the world up to this point. People like the Rothschilds already own 3/4 of the world. What do they care if the currency crashes now? They already own enough land and have possession of enough gold to be able to support their families for the next 5 or 10,000 generations. They don't need the fiat currency system in place. All the main players have already got all their wealth. They've already got all their nest eggs. They've got all their gold. They've got all their underground bases. They don't care about the fiat system. The fiat system isn't even real. It's just a system that they've used to trick people into transferring wealth into their hands. So now they've got all the real wealth, all the gold and all this sort of stuff. The paper doesn't mean anything. They don't care about the paper. What they care about is control. And in order for the smart grid to work, that control needs to be held together by the glue of a digital currency. And that's why it's important to look at where blockchain technology is going and who is controlling these blockchains. Again, it isn't that Bitcoin's evil. It's just that the government is looking at this, and of course they're going to borrow it. What would you do? Of course, you would do the same thing if you're in their position. And if you look at how this smart grid works and how it has to work, it has to have digital currency in order for anything to happen at all. Without that, nothing can go ahead. And the reason it's being pushed so dramatically by everybody is because of the billions of dollars of profit, which is motivating these companies into rolling this smart grid out. That's the thing, you know, the people that are rolling it out, they're not rolling it out because they really want to control you. They're rolling it out because of the billions of dollars that they're going to make in doing so. You know, we're talking about companies such as AT&T and different communication companies. These companies aren't evil in themselves. These are simply companies run by CEOs of people who want to make lots of money, and they see this as a really, really big money spinner for those who can get in on the ground floor. So that's the carrot. That's the bait that they're holding out to people. You can get all these credits and get all this money by getting in on the ground floor with this if you do it quickly enough. And that's why they're rolling it all out without checking any safety standards. It's the pure greed in these people's hearts, and their need to get in before everybody else to have the best business opportunity. That's what's motivating it, and that's what's driving it, and that's why it's so difficult to stop. But again, it can only go ahead if we comply with it, if we buy all the tech and we comply with all these devices. You know, if we continue to shop with cash, then it can't go ahead. And we just boycott the stores that won't let us shop with cash and become undesirable if that's what it takes. And seriously, it's either that or lose everything. And even with wealth, the way people are digitizing their wealth, you notice everything is becoming digitized. They're digitizing everything. And when you put your money in a bank account and it's just there as digital credits on a screen and you go and shop with a card, then where is that wealth? Where is that gold, that silver, that money that you're holding? It just exists in virtual reality, so what happens if the power goes out? What happens if we get shut out of the system at any time? Or if you specifically get shut out of the system, suddenly all your wealth disappears. This is why I always recommend people buy silver or put their wealth in precious metals or whatever. Put it into something tangible, not something digital, don't digitize your life, don't digitize your world, because you are not digital, you are analog. You exist in a world of physicality, and the food that you eat is physical food, the air that you breathe is physical air, the body that you inhabit is a physical body. It's important that you nourish this and that you nurture your environment so that you have a vibrant life. You can't just live in a virtual world and expect that life to be vibrant. It doesn't work that way. But unfortunately, people are being led into this virtual world. The new Google Glass that has come out is quite spectacular, I believe. There's been people that have been experimenting with that and having a look at it. That does immerse you into a virtual world. And when is it going to go beyond that to the point that you are wearing smart contact lenses which immerse you into that virtual world? And that's really the way that we're going. We're being led into this virtual world. And we're being led into a position where we're just growing accustomed to it by default. And people apparently that have looked at Google Glass and have spent a little bit of time playing in these game worlds and these virtual realities, when they come back into the real world, they find it very, very difficult to adjust to life back in the real world. It just all seems very plain, very ordinary, and it becomes like an addiction. As I've spoken about before, whenever we tap an icon on our computer, on our phone, all these little things happen, it releases dopamine in our bodies. And this is what happens when you're in these game situations as well. It becomes a constant dopamine fix. And life becomes about the pleasure of each individual moment. This is how we measure our lives, according to the pleasure level of each individual moment we experience, because we are so used to these dopamine releases. So what we're really creating in the children by giving them these phones and these iPads and things at such young ages is a dopamine addiction. You notice you give a child an iPad, a very small child an iPad or something like that, and it plays with it for a while, it's completely fixated by what's happening on the screen. As soon as you take that iPad away, it screams and it is uncontrollable and it will not calm down again until you give the iPad back to it. And as soon as it gets the iPad, it becomes very, very calm again and completely fixated. And people think, oh, it's just the fascination of the screen, but really what it is the dopamine releases. The child gets addicted to the pleasure sensation at a very early age, and life becomes all about pleasure. It becomes all about how much pleasure you experience in each individual moment. So if you have to do anything which leads you away from that pleasure, such as go and cook food, go and interact with someone in a way that is not particularly the way you constructed, or anything that really is in the real world, you're not getting that dopamine fix that you would be getting by clicking icons on the screen. So it's a form of drug addiction, and it leads people into this virtual world. And that's what this system is doing. And it's being very, very cleverly manipulated. And people are being very, very cleverly manipulated into being led into this world. This is where the transgender issue comes into it as well. Why they're promoting transgenderism so much and why people are being so disconnected from their natural sexuality. Because once you get led into that virtual world, you will have no sexuality. You won't have a gender, you won't have any of those physical pleasures really, only the ones that are stimulated by electromagnetic stimulation of your nervous system. You don't need your body to function properly to get those stimulations. You can get them through virtual reality. So you can basically just lie in a crib and become like way they depicted people to be in the Matrix virtually. You can just be lying in these chambers, being a power source for the system and dreaming your life away. That's the way we are being led. That's what a virtual reality will be. That's what artificial intelligence will be if we link ourselves up to it. Well, that's what virtual life and virtual reality will be anyway. Again, it isn't really artificial intelligence. It's autonomic intelligence. It's autonomic virtual life that we are creating. Big difference. And a lot of people also, when they look at this, they're thinking of transhumanism being something like humanity 2.0. They're thinking of humanity basically merging with machine, with us becoming cyborgs, blah, 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 what it would be like. But it's not really mankind becoming humanity 2.0 at all. If you look at it, if you look at some of the things I've spoken about recently on the shows with the drop in the male sperm count, 50% of what it was 50 years ago, the whole transgenderization of the species, what we're seeing is a species that is in decline. What is happening really is not us merging with machine. What is happening is us becoming the machine. What they're attempting to do, I suggest, with this third strand of DNA and this neural mesh that they're putting in everybody, is they are hooking us up to the mainframe with the intent of basically harvesting our consciousness or transferring our consciousness into a virtual reality without us ever really realizing that they've done it. You know, essentially what we are seeing is an attempt to capture the collective consciousness of mankind and imprison it within a system, if we are not already imprisoned within such a system and this is not already some type of virtual reality that we are in. Could it be that we are constructing a system within a system? That's something else that you could speculate on. Again, the truth is a very and extremely elusive thing, especially when looking at this situation we find ourselves in. You know, the nature of this reality is something vastly different to what we've been told, folks. I really would suggest that it is. You know, we are given so little to go on, so little information to go on, and even with the way our language is constructed, we have so little words available in the English language with which to define reality, that it's no wonder we have no real idea about what's going on. That's why I keep coming back to the fact that it is so pointless to keep arguing about all these different belief systems. What we need to do is establish the freedom to put all of these arguments to rest and to realize why all of these arguments exist to begin with, why all the mysteries exist to begin with. They only exist because we're not free. But ultimately, you know, why do we need to know all this stuff anyway? I keep coming back to that. I mean, I suppose because it would be nice to know. And of course it would be nice to know. I mean, I've been a researcher all my life and certainly it would be nice to know the answers to things. But at the moment, you know, what I've been trying to point out to people is that we're in a situation where we're facing a clear and present danger. If this 5G grid is allowed to come online, and this whole smart grid, this whole digital currency cashless grid is allowed to come online, then it's going to be game, set and match. At that point, we'll lose access to a lot of the information we've got now anyway. We're never going to know what happened. We're never going to know how we got here because the kids that are coming up through school simply won't have any reference point. They'll never know. And the generation that's here now, well, we'll die out and this information simply won't be transferred because the internet will be so locked down. And we're seeing it happen now. We're seeing all of these accounts being demonetized all over YouTube. We're seeing all of these websites disappearing all over the place. It's just a matter of time before they lock the truth out completely. As I mentioned a couple of months ago, a show that I did called Brushing the Truth Aside. That's how they're doing it. They're just gradually sweeping it all under the carpet because people are so worried about what their own personal truth is rather than facing the common truth that we live in a slavery system and that if we could get some focus and allow each other to disagree on our particular belief systems and disagree on whatever rabbit holes we're going down and simply have that common focus of freedom and common focus of emancipation from slavery, then we could make a difference. But people have to be prepared to step back and identify what the control grid is. And I don't do beliefs, folks. I don't have belief systems. But with all of the research I've done in my life, one thing that I believe now is that the 5G smart grid is the most important thing that we should be focusing on, because if we do not pay attention to this, then the train that is coming is going to hit us head on right when we least expect it. I think it's very important that people stop arguing over the shape of the tracks and arguing over these petty issues and identify the clear and present danger that we are in and take the necessary steps required to collectively step off the tracks. And that's actually all I've ever really attempted to do with these radio shows, ladies and gentlemen, is to help people realize that there's a train coming and to encourage them to collectively step off the tracks. You know, and the abuse and the attacks that you get for doing these sorts of things is quite amazing. The abuse and the attacks I get for not having a belief system is quite amazing as well. I get all sorts of attacks from all directions simply because I choose to follow a certain path and not to lock my mind into any belief. And when I look at some of the great figures in history, some of the people that religions have been built around, this is the way they lived their lives as well, and I see no problem in living my life that way. You know, I think it works. I really do. I think many people, when they look at religious teachings, they fail to look at the path of the individual. Many Christians who look at the teachings of Christ, for example, believe that simply by blindly giving their faith to Christ, they will save their lives and they will save the world. But what about the world around them? What about the path that he walked? He attempted to change the world by walking the right path, and if we walked that same path, we would change the world. It's that simple. What if people who are waiting for Christ to come back, why can't they simply walk the path that he demonstrated was possible for an individual to walk? And don't say, it can't be possible for me to walk that path because I'm not him. That isn't what he said. He said that you were capable of more than what he was capable of. So why can't we do that? Why can't we simply change things by changing our perspective of reality and respect each other? I don't know. That's what I do, and it just works for me. I may get criticized for it by some people, but that's just the way it is. It works for me. I respect all of these teachings of many, many great people, but I walk my own path, and I choose to always walk my own path and apply myself to the world that I live in and apply myself to the world that I inhabit. And I live my life in a state of giving to people because it works for me to do that. I would suggest that if we simply change our perspective of the world and change our perspective of what our relationship to other people is, we could change the world in a very, very easy way. I don't think it will be difficult at all. I suggest that if we refused to tolerate wrong behavior and always did the right thing in all that we do and lived our life in Lakesh, this is why I use this at the end of every radio show, if we lived our life in that manner, then we would change the world. Now, it's worked for me, and it can work for other people. I've seen it work for other people. I've seen when people can shift their perspective of where their values are, shift their perspective away from economic values and move it more towards personal interactive values. You know, treat people as yourself. You know, look for that glint that you can bring up in people's eyes, that light that you can bring into their eyes, that little spark that you can bring to them, that smile you can bring to their faces. We don't do this. So often we don't do this. And even looking at the independent media and how we treat each other, you know, this quest for truth, what does it become? Very often it's just people locking themselves into their own belief systems, focusing on their own rabbit holes and hacking everybody down around them. And that is not really a quest for truth. Truth is a very, very elusive thing, and it always has been. And we'll talk about that a little bit more after the break. And I guess this is a bit of a personal show, folks, but well, that's just the way it goes sometimes. Sometimes we just have to bring personal things onto the table because they're good to talk about it. But I think it's break time here, so we'll leave it there for now. We're going to have a break. Thank you for joining me on the air today, and I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back to the show. And so the truth. What is the truth in the world today? The truth is most certainly an elusive thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's something that we're all looking for, but something that is just incredibly difficult to find. Of course, we find certain truths along the way, but looking for the truth, well, that is the big one, isn't it? And what exactly is the truth? Can there ever be such a thing as the truth? It's an interesting quest, really, isn't it? Because reality changes so much. You know, you change so much through your life, and what may be true for you now may not be true for you later in your life. And people may look at this and say, well, no, it's not possible because the truth is the truth. But I think if you really examine the nature of truth and the nature of yourself and the things that you find to be true now and things that were different when you were younger, which were just as true for you then, well, maybe you'll see why the truth is such an elusive thing. And one of the real problems that people have when attempting to find the truth is their need for something to grab onto, something to hold onto, some form of security to justify their world, to justify the world that they find themselves in once they wake up to the fact that the world is very different to what they thought it was. And so they'll find something that works for them. Many people will go down the rabbit hole and they'll go, oh my God, there's a secret society called the Illuminati. Okay, it's a banking cartel that runs the world. This is the truth. They'll latch onto that, they'll hold onto that, and then that becomes their existence. And everything they look at reinforces that belief system. Other people may go down a different rabbit hole and say, oh my God, it's the Freemasons, they control everything. Another group of people may go down the rabbit hole and say, oh my God, it's the Zionists, it's the Jews, they control everything, and then it becomes their truth, and then all they do is look for things to reinforce that belief system, and they're not prepared to look outside of the boxes that they construct for themselves, because these boxes provide them with security and justification for the predicament they find themselves in. The predicament, of course, being the newly found knowledge of the slavery system and control grid that they're living in. This is quite shocking for many people when they discover the truth of this. And that is one truth, but it is the truth. Well, certainly it is the truth about this society, but surely there's a lot more to it than that. And the problem is that it's that fundamental discovery that tends to stop people in their tracks. They do realize they're in a slavery system, and then they look for anything they can that will help explain it for them and provide them with a little bit of comfort and security in their lives. You know, most people live their lives in a bubble. They live their lives believing what the television tells them, what the newspaper tells them, what they learn through the education system, what they allow themselves to believe according to what their peer group pressure dictates very often. And when people wake up to the fact that things are actually very different and they are living in a virtual matrix, they are controlled by this economic system, they're living in a slavery system essentially, it becomes very, very difficult for people to deal with and to function in their everyday life once they see the prison that they live in and they realize how asleep everybody around them is. You know, when people woke up to the fact that 9/11 was staged, it was so obvious to most people, and they started screaming it out from the rooftops, and they were shocked that the people around them didn't pay attention. And not only didn't they pay attention, they shouted them down and told them they were wrong. They simply wouldn't look at it. And it became quite shocking for many people, and many people withdrew. And when this happens, they tend to find something to substantiate the way they now feel about the world, something to justify the way they feel, their new perspective, something to cling on to, some truth to hold on to that they can go, okay, this is it. Now I get it. Now I understand what's going on. And they hold on to that and they simply won't let go. And unfortunately, it closes their minds to other options. And that's what we've seen very much in this so-called awakening that's been happening, this rise of awareness that's been happening anyway, because there has been a huge rise of awareness. But through it, we've seen many, many people latching onto belief systems, latching onto the truth that they believe they've found, or at least a truth that they believe they've found, saying, this is it. This is what keeps me sane. Believing this is what I can use to justify my new attitude and to justify my existence. And they hold on to that and they cling onto it desperately and they won't let go and they close their minds to all other options. At this point, they've stopped feeling with their heart and thinking with their heart, and they've allowed their mind to take over and have effectively closed their minds to other possibilities, because the truth is a very, very elusive thing. And the truth is something that I think we are all still searching for, but something that very, very few people have even begun to find. And when they do find it, it's very, very difficult for them to even comprehend it. You know, one of the problems is that this control grid is so vastly different to what people really think it is. So many people who are looking into all the things that we're facing, like I said, they want someone to point the finger at. They want to say, oh, it's the banking cartels, it's the Jesuits, it's the Jews, it's the Freemasons, it's whatever. And sure, all of these people have played a role. The banking cartels certainly have played an extreme role in leading mankind to where they are, as has the mainstream media, as have all of the governments of the world, as has the State of Israel, the Jewish control grid, the Palantir system, everything that's been done, Monsanto, the genetic alteration of the food, and all of these things are combined, folks. All of them are part of the same agenda, the same as the chemtrails are all part of the same agenda. There's been so many people that have led us to this point, but it's gotten to the point now where each one of these little individual aspects of the control grid is basically losing control of the monster that it's creating. It's almost like the creation of a Frankenstein monster. If you can think of the creation of the Frankenstein monster, only instead of it just being created by Dr. Frankenstein, there's a whole bunch of little doctors who are all working on it from different angles, each cooperating with each other, but also essentially competing with each other below the surface. And they're all thinking that they're bringing this thing into life that they're going to be able to control. But now that it is taking on its own life, they are all losing control of it themselves. And the monster itself is becoming autonomic, and it is taking control of the system itself. It's taking control of itself. That's what's happening. You know, all the people, all the players that have led to the world becoming the way it is now, all the people that have controlled the money system, all the people that have controlled the software and all the programs and the AI and everything that's been brought about, all the people at MIT, CIA, all of these people have been living in these compartmentalized agendas and doing these compartmentalized actions, all completely unaware of what the other compartments are doing. Very often we think, well, there's someone sitting at the top like the Bilderbergers who sit there and correlate all the information. The ones who control the Rockefeller Foundation and all these scientific experiments, they're the ones who correlate all the information. But they don't. They feed it all into computers, and it is the computers that correlate the information. It is the AI itself which is leading the world to where we're going. And all of those little controlling mechanisms that have brought us here are all getting combined into one mechanism. And when that happens, those who control those little aspects also get squeezed out, and it all becomes one system, one fully autonomic system that runs itself. And that's where we're heading. And that is what so many people are missing in all of this when trying to find a way out. It really is, you know, people's need to blame somebody else. And like I said, sure, there's been a lot of people that have done a lot of bad things, but who are you going to replace to get us out of this mess? I mean, think about it. If you were to create a new government and put it in place, how is that government going to lead mankind back to a position of safety when it is the control grid itself, it's the smart grid itself that is the problem? And that is something that people have been having an incredibly difficult time coming to terms with because of their need to blame somebody else. But like I said, even if you replace the government, what are you going to do then? It's not really going to change anything. Even if you remove the fiat currency and remove the interest off money, at this point, it's not going to change much because it is the grid itself that is the problem. And as I keep saying, the underlying fact also that this smart grid can be weaponized. I mean, what we're having, folks, is an active denial system put in place all around our countries. And it's also a system that's going to be controlling us digitally via the digital control of money. See, that is the problem. And it's only through people pulling away from the tech that they're going to be able to stop the New World Order from coming online. This is something that I've been attempting to stress to people. It doesn't matter who you vote in or vote out. It doesn't matter if we stop all the wars. It doesn't matter if we free Palestine and get rid of the entire political cacistocracy that's in place now. If we continue to use the tech, then in another 5 to 10 years, we're still going to find ourselves landing in exactly the same place that we're heading to now. Because all of this other stuff is a distraction. All the threatening and posturing against North Korea and Russia and all these wars, all of it is a distraction. It's all to keep you preoccupied and to keep you from noticing that which is happening right beneath your feet right now, that which is being rolled out right under your noses, the smart grid itself. But the powers that believe they be, and most especially the media, are doing everything they can to distract the people from this. Humanity is being set up, like from all angles we are being set up. The recent riots that we just saw in Charlottesville, that was such a setup, ladies and gentlemen. If people can't see how staged that was simply yet another attempt to create race war in the United States. It wasn't a white supremacist rally at all. It's basically people attempting to stop the destruction of history and the destruction of statues that people seem to want to pull down because apparently these statues are racist now. And it was people, white people, saying, well, we'd like to keep our heritage. I mean, really, when you look at it, it was basically an All Lives Matter rally, not just a Black Lives Matter rally. That's the problem, you know. White people can't stand up for themselves anymore. If they do, they're called racists. It's interesting, isn't it? We're told we need to stand up for minority groups. But if you look at the population, you find that white people are actually a minority group now, but we're not allowed to stand up for white people because of what they call white privilege. I don't really understand the concept of white privilege, having grown up in a storm drain myself and having to have struggled for every single moment of my life. I can't really understand the concept, but I guess it's because many of the nations that cause a lot of the trouble around the world are run by white people, so this means all white people are bad and they should never stand up for their rights or something like that. I'm not really quite sure. Sure, there's been white people that conducted bad business, did slavery, all sorts of bad things, but it wasn't me and it wasn't any of the people in the world today. And if people cannot see how they are being set up with this, then I really don't know what it would take to wake them up. But there's no point standing up for white people or standing up for black people or standing up for brown people if you're not prepared to stand up for people in general, ladies and gentlemen, because that's the problem. And the government wants nothing more and loves nothing more than to see the population pointlessly squabbling amongst themselves about the colour of their skin, believing that one side has more privileges than the other when both are living in a slavery system. And it is the fighting between them that perpetuates the slavery system and prevents the people from ever looking towards the controlling hand, because that is where they may find healing if they were to put down their personal differences and actually pay some attention to where the problem is manifesting from in the beginning. You know, and a lot of people will come and listen to this show and listen to all the shows that I do and will say to me, why are you always presenting the problems but not presenting the solutions? And this is, again, because people want a game plan laid out for them. People don't realize that they are the solution. People want to be saved. They don't want to have a solution which involves their participation. That is the problem. And when you realize it is us that is holding the system up, it only functions because of our participation in the system, then how can you provide a solution to people if they're not prepared to put it into action themselves? You know, there's no game plan that anybody can do. Like I said, you can't replace the government. If you do replace the government, let's say we do, we replace the government, we replace the money system, we create an honest monetary system, what happens then? We're still going in the same direction where we have to pay for every aspect of our lives. That's the question. Why do we have to pay for everything? Why do you have to pay for the air that you breathe? Why are you prevented from collecting water that falls from the sky? Why are there so many rules in place that affect every single aspect of your life? And when every single aspect of your life is controlled by its economic worth, then you get to a pretty bad place. And that's where we're going. Now, you look at it now, you've got to pay to use public conveniences, pay to use the bathroom. When it gets to the point that it's a smart meter on your home and you've got a smart bathroom, then you'll have to pay to use your own bathroom. You'll have to pay per use for your fridge, for your stove, for everything that you use. And why does life have to have an economic value attached to it? It doesn't need to be this way. That's the problem, and that's something that people aren't really seeing. People just take money for granted. Sure, there's all sorts of complaints about the fact that there's a Federal Reserve system, it's a fiat system, it's debt-based, all the sort of stuff that we know about the currency, how corrupt it is and how it's led us to this point. And that's all very well, but what about the question of why do we need it there to begin with? And this is something people find it very difficult to get their heads around, the concept of a world with no money. They think, well, you must then have a resource-based economy or a such-and-such-based economy, but why do you need an economy at all? Why does the world have to be economically based? That is the question. That's a question that I've asked myself ever since I was 4 years old. I've never really been able to understand the concept of money, why we create this barrier for ourselves. And when you see where we're being led with this smart grid, how it's all going to be based on this economic system, that's the real issue. And that's what people aren't really looking at. It's what people find so difficult to get their heads around. It isn't just the fact that the world is run by a group of psychopathic pedophiles. It's the fact that we are all kept constrained in every aspect of our lives because we have to pay for every aspect of our lives. Who thought that up? Who thought that system up? Why was that put in place to begin with? And how does that serve mankind, having this sort of a system in place? Think about it. How does it serve you? How does it serve anybody? All it served to do is bring the world to the state that it's in now. and create this concept of perceived scarcity, which has brought about all these wars and all this destruction and all this human degradation that we've seen in the world. And the problem is, when people look at it, they want to be led to safety. They don't want anything that involves them participating themselves. And even when the participation that they would be best off doing is non-participation, people won't even do that. They just won't step outside of their comfort zones, and that's the problem. You know, how can anybody present a solution to a people who are not prepared to step outside of their comfort zones? That's why none of the systems have worked. The Venus Project, the Ubuntu system, however good they may be, whether they've got good aspects or bad aspects, whatever, none of them will work, because in order for them to work, people have to step outside of their comfort zones. And they're just not prepared to do it, even if it is something as simple as just staying home and refusing to involve yourself in the system for a few days. People still won't do it. They're too afraid of missing out on their wages or of raising the ire of their friends for daring to stand up against the system and make a stand. People are too scared to stick their head up above the crowd because they're afraid they may get it chopped off. Everyone wants a change, but no one is prepared to be the one that stands up and says, yes, let's do it, and takes the first step. And the thing is that if people were to do this, I mean, it wouldn't be like you were taking the first step anyway, because there's so many people in the independent media that have already taken that step. There's so many people that are already speaking out and that are already stepping away from the system. All we need is more numbers to do that, and we will see some change. You know, it's very difficult to give any plan, any outline for freedom to a species who does not want to be involved in making that happen. That's the problem, ladies and gentlemen. And all the people that complain that there's no solutions being provided, the problem is they want some step-by-step plan laid out on paper, and you can't do that. You know, what you have to do is change the mindset of the people, change their belief systems, you know, help people understand that they actually have the power to bring about change themselves, and they are not slaves, and they do not have to do what they're told all the time. That is the most difficult thing, breaking the mindset in people. And it's people's need to be led, which is the problem to begin with. It's people's willingness to be led, which has brought us to this situation. So leading people to safety is not the way to freedom. You've got to help people understand the power that they have so they can stand in that. And that might seem really obscure to people, but it's not. I mean, that is the way out. It's for people to realize that they just don't have to do what they're told. And if we were to respect each other and allow people to think differently, then we would find some remedy to this situation. You know, realizing that it is the grid itself that is the problem is half the battle. You know, realizing how many distractions have been put there for us to argue about and to focus on, and realizing that we're externalizing all of the solutions we come up with. We think it's about pulling the government down and replacing it with new people, but that's not going to work because it's the grid, it's the tech, it's the smart system. Now, the smart system is the grid itself. The smart system is the new world order. And as I said earlier, people are failing to comprehend what this is because they are failing to differentiate between artificial intelligence and autonomic intelligence, autonomic virtual life. They're failing to see what you need to be considered to be artificially intelligent or to consider to be a virtual life. In order to be a virtual life, in order to be able to think and act like a living mind, that body that controls that mind needs to be fully autonomic, the way any other living creature is. And people are failing to differentiate between autonomic intelligence and artificial intelligence, and that is where the problem is, because when the internet does become fully autonomic and when the grid does become fully autonomic, then it becomes virtually self-aware by default, because that's what an autonomic system is. Irrespective of whether you're an animal or a human being or a plant or whatever. And if you think that plants are not self-aware, well, I would suggest that you read books such as The Secret Life of Plants and do a little bit of research into it, because plants do feel things and they are aware of their environment. They may not be able to manipulate their environment the way we can as humans or even the way animals can, but they are aware of their environment. So everything has an awareness, every living thing has an awareness, and it is our failure to realize that real awareness can only ever come about within an autonomic system, and it is our working to create this autonomic system which is bringing awareness to the internet itself. I know it's a kind of a bizarre concept for people to understand, but that's really the problem that we're facing, ladies and gentlemen. It's the autonomic system that we're building around us. And once this autonomic system comes online, as I said, it will not differentiate between people. It will not differentiate between rich and poor, between Muslim and Christian, between Jew and Goyim, between Rothschild and Smith. It will simply view humanity as humanity and AI as AI. And that's the way it will operate. And because we're building it to think economically, then we are basically building this beast system and giving life to it ourselves. This is why a few shows ago I put out a radio show called Giving Life to Lucifer. Whether you believe Lucifer is a real thing, whether you believe Lucifer is something that is already here and already has a life of its own, in order for it to operate in this form, in order for this Lucifer force to get control of this world, it needs to be given its power and life to do so by us. We need to hand control to it willingly. And that is what we are doing by creating an autonomic internet. We are giving life to this Lucifer system, this beast system. This is everything that was ever warned about in all religious tomes. If you really look at the teachings of Jesus, if you believe such things, then this is exactly what he warned about. And that should be very obvious by the way he overturned the tables of the money changers. As I've often said, folks, Jesus was able to protest the system all his life. But once he overturned the tables of the money changers and threatened this usurious monetary system, he was dead within a week. And that is why it is so important for us to pay attention to this monetary system as well, because the monetary system is the glue that holds the whole thing together. And if this monetary system is able to be digitized and we go with that, then we have just handed control of every single aspect of our lives over to this beast system. It's imperative that we step away from the digital economy. It's imperative that we step away from credit cards and all forms of automation and get back in touch with our humanity, ladies and gentlemen, because that is ultimately what's going to heal this situation. And I still have an enormous amount of faith in people to be able to do this. I really do. And I've had a lot of people question me on my views on Christianity lately. There's been a lot of Christians on my threads, and a lot of people have been asking me questions. Am I a Christian? Do I believe that Christ is the Savior and all of this sort of stuff? And what I have to say to people is that when I look at the life of Christ, Christ did not have a religion. And I simply do not trust the system, and I do not trust what is written in books. I don't trust what anybody tells me. I only trust what I feel in my heart. And I don't think that the message of waiting for a savior is the right thing. I don't think that's the message that is actually contained within Christianity. I think Jesus wanted people to be like him and follow his path, because it is through his path that mankind will find themselves in a place of healing. I don't believe it is waiting for the return of anybody. I believe that that message has been misconstrued, and that the message that this man held within his heart was what will save the world, if people would simply apply it to themselves and then apply it to the world that they live in. I just don't see enough people doing that. But anyway, folks, we have reached the end of this show here, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. I will be speaking in Copenhagen this year at the Open Mind Conference on the 16th and 17th of September. I'm also speaking in Swindon at a special event that's being held on the 1st of October this year. After that, I am doing a Cambo workshop in Hawaii in November. It would be great to see people at any of these events, and I certainly do hope that I see some of you there. Thank you to all those who support the website and who continue to listen to the show, those who've been with me for so many years. It has been really wonderful to share this journey with the people who have been with me for so long, and I cannot thank you enough for the support that you've shown me. That is the only thing that keeps the show going, folks. It's the only thing that keeps it on the air, is the support that people give me. And thank you to all those who support the Patreon account. Thank you to those who can throw a couple of dollars a month in the kitty, because that is what keeps it going. And please don't lose heart with all of this negative information that comes to you, folks. I mean, the world is pretty crazy at the moment, and it's just getting crazier and crazier. But as I said, I do have an enormous amount of faith in this species, and I do believe we will find a way through this mess. But that is it for me now, folks. I'm completely out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week, and I will look forward to seeing any of you who can make it to the aforementioned gigs that are happening over the next couple of months. But that's it for me, folks, and I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh, my friends. In Lakesh.